Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline de Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, listeners, welcome to episode number 37 of Blissen Up. So today I'm going to get right into it because I have a lot to share. I don't know how long this episode is going to run, but this one is one of those vulnerable, from the heart episodes that I just feel compelled to share with you. So hopefully you'll hang with me through it. You know, I hope there's something here for you to learn. This one is really a special episode. You know, I talked about last week about the theme of the month, and the theme that I chose for January was shift. And I chose this theme because rather than jumping into a new life, new you, you know, kind of one of these startling wake-ups to the new year, although that works for some people, I've noticed it doesn't work for everybody. And some people need a little bit more time. They need something that's a little more subtle to go into the new year. But nonetheless, it is a new year. There is a new beginning. There is a new focus. There is a new vibe. So a shift is in order. It is appropriate to start shifting, but maybe it doesn't have to be so extreme or so intense as some people make it. And if it works for you, by the way, like if it works for you, then go all in. I'm all about it, right? It's never a bad time to start something new. It's never a bad time to jump start something. It's never a bad time to have intensity about something. But if it doesn't work for you, then maybe shifting is a little bit more your jam. It's a little bit more appropriate for what you're feeling right now. So shifting is by definition a slight change in position, direction, or tendency. Now, as life goes on, everyone shifts in some way, right? We spend our entire lives shifting. That's part of the human evolution. That's part of the human process. But the difference between what I'm talking about and what happens naturally is that this is an intentional shift. We are intentionally shifting. What I have seen is that instead of shifting, oftentimes humans start drifting. They start drifting away from their principles. They start drifting away from their dreams. They start drifting away from good habits because life can be hard. Life can present challenges. Life can come at you fast. Life can give you surprises and unexpected plot twists that you really weren't prepared for or you don't think you're prepared for. And rather than using those as opportunities to shift, to learn, to connect the dots, to become more resilient, sometimes you use that as not as an opportunity, but as a reason to kind of drift away, to drift away into the abyss because it's hard work to shift into a stronger version of yourself. It's actually the hardest path ever. Right? Like it's easier to drift. If you've ever read the book Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill, he talks about drifters. That's where I first learned about that concept. I love the concept of understanding what a drifter is because it really requires discipline and intention and critical thinking to not drift, but rather to use your intentions to shift when appropriate. So for this month, my invitation to you, the theme for you and for myself is to shift into better mindset, upgrading your wellness habits, upgrading your relationship dynamics, really focusing on what matters most, getting your life in order, getting clear on your priorities, your dreams, your intentions, your goals, the direction that you want to shift your life towards, and starting to nurture the habits, actions, choices, decisions that lead you in that path, that get you one step closer to that path, one step at a time, right? And the beauty of shifting is that you don't have to do everything today, which is unrealistic, but rather it's heading in a direction. So I've been thinking a lot about this theme and about this concept and about the things that I have shifted in my life. And one thing that came to me, and I'm like, my heart is beating fast. I'm even a little bit nervous to talk about this because it's such a personal thing for me. But one of the biggest shifts that I've had in my life is becoming a woman of faith. Well, declaring that I am a woman of faith, affirming that I am a woman of faith. It's been a long journey for me to get on this path. And I felt strongly that I should share with you what that journey looked like, what it means for me, and where it has led me to now, to the life that I live now, because it has changed everything for me. It's probably the biggest shift that I've had, and I've had many. I've shifted my diet, I've shifted my exercise, I've shifted my career, I've shifted my financial situation, I've shifted, you know, some of my beliefs. I've shifted a lot of different things. But the biggest shift, I think, the most transformational, the most impactful shift that I've had has been my relationship with faith. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And my invitation to you is to consider whether this is a shift you want to participate in this year. And what I mean by that will become more clear as I share with you on this episode the journey and what that has represented in my life. So I'll start off by giving you a little bit of history. I grew up in a family where my mother was Catholic and my father was agnostic, which means that he subscribed to the belief that you cannot neither confirm nor deny the existence of God. Rather, it is your job to be in the constant pursuit of looking for evidence or proof, you know, usually through science, of claims of God or anything supernatural. So that's really the meaning of agnosticism. Now, some people confuse that with atheism, which is the denial that a God exists, right? So atheist people do not believe that God exists at all. Agnostic people cannot confirm or deny the existence of God. So they're like, listen, it could go either way, but I certainly don't know if it is true or not true. So I was raised with these two different schools of thought. Now, my parents were divorced. So in essence, I had influence from two different households. And even though my parents were on the same page for many, many things, like the way that they parented me, they were super open with communication in regards to me. They were very aligned. The one thing that they did not agree on at all was the concept of religion. My mom felt very strongly that I should be raised Catholic, and my father felt very strongly that I should be taught to be agnostic or to study agnosticism. And his position was not that I couldn't be religious, but rather that I should be the kind of person who asks critical thinking questions, that I should challenge religion, that I should challenge the theories, that I should look for evidence, that I should be open to different possibilities, that I should be a person who seeks truth as opposed to having blind faith. So throughout my life, I had these two competing philosophies, these two influential people in my life feeding me different information. And I had to decide for myself which one I was going to go with. Now, I will say that I always leaned more towards my father's influence than my mom's. I don't know if it's because I'm a girl, I was a daddy's girl. I don't know if it's because I had such a good relationship with my dad. I'm not sure what it was, but he certainly had more influence on me. And one of the things that resonated the most from my father's view of life versus my mom's was that I felt that my mother's view was very fear-based. She was very afraid of me, something happening to me because I wasn't religious. She was afraid of me going to hell. She was afraid of me, you know, becoming like going down an immoral path or, you know, just, I don't know, I guess succumbing to the devil or something. I felt that she had, she was fear-based when it came to religion. And my father did not display fear. He wasn't afraid at all. He wasn't afraid of anything happening to me. On the contrary, he always invited me to ask questions and to, you know, to just challenge things. And he taught me different philosophies. And it came from a place of curiosity, a place of learning, a place of philosophy. And that was very attractive to me. I really resonated with that. And I just wasn't a fearful person. So I think it just, that was just what resonated with me the most. So throughout my life, I leaned always more towards my father's line of thinking. And I did question a lot of things and I did challenge religion. But I also had my mom who put me in Catholic school, who took me to church every Sunday, who really did her best to influence me from a spiritual perspective. So I had a balance. It was a little bit of a balance. And then there were intervening circumstances in my life. So for example, I had a boyfriend in high school that I fell in love with his parents. His parents had been married forever. They had just the most beautiful relationship. They had all these kids. They had great family. I was in awe of their family dynamic. I loved it. And my mom would often reiterate to me that she believed that their success was based primarily on their faith, on the fact that they were Catholic, you know, church-going family. They were very faith-based. And she was convinced that God held them together. And because I did not have that family dynamic in my life, I didn't have an example of that. I remember having this conversation with my father and telling him, hey, listen, you know, I question a lot of these things just like you do, a lot of these beliefs. I'm with you. And I would love to have a family like that. And if being Catholic is like my ticket to having a beautiful family, then I think I want to take it because they seem to have a much more successful family life than we do. So maybe they're onto something. Maybe their beliefs are onto something. So yeah, we'd always have these conversations. And my father was really good about letting me go through my own path and through my own journey. So he wouldn't stop questioning or challenging or giving me a different alternative to look at. But he would also say to me, hey, if this is for you and you want to follow these practices, then go for it. This is amazing. In fact, at some point when I was in my teenage years, throughout this time, I was having trouble reconciling between these two worlds. And I'm like, I have a little bit of agnostic in me, but I also have a little bit of Catholic in me. Like, I don't know what I am. And my dad said to me, it's easy. You're an agno-Catholic. And it was the first time that anybody gave me permission to be both, to just reconcile both of my ideas and say, I can be both, which is probably not something that a Catholic would appreciate, right? But my father gave me permission to be different than that. And that helped me a lot. So I wavered back and forth throughout the years. As I got older, I became more agnostic. By that point, I started to refuse the idea that I had to be Catholic to have a successful marriage. And I found evidence of people that were not religious that had successful marriages. I started to refuse the idea that I needed religion to make me a moral person or a good person. I had some circumstances in my life that really pushed me away from religion. Specifically, one day I was at, my grandmother was in the hospital. She was on her deathbed, and I was there with a family member, and this is not an immediate family member to me, but somebody within my familial circle. And she and I were having a conversation, and she was asking me how my dad was doing, and I was telling her all, you know, he was doing great. And she said to me, you know, it's a real shame that your father has not accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. She was a Christian person. She wasn't Catholic, but she said, it's a real shame that your father hasn't accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior because he's such a good person. It's a shame that he's going to go to hell. And that really upset me. It really irked me tremendously. I looked at her and I remember responding, well, if he's going to go to hell, then hopefully I will too, because I want to be wherever he's at when he dies. And in my defense of him, I just completely rejected religion at that point. Why? Because my father was a humanitarian. He was focused on doing good in the world. I saw him always helping people. I saw him always being in service. I knew that he meant good. He had a servant heart, and he inspired and helped a lot of people. He was a good man, and I just refused. I refused to believe that him not subscribing to a particular religion would make him go to hell. Like, I refused to believe in a God that would punish a good person like that, you know, because they couldn't confirm or deny a religion. Like, I could not wrap my head around it. So I strayed further and further from religious language. I started to use secular language. I stopped identifying, even as an agno-Catholic, I stopped identifying as a Catholic person. I really went through a journey of rebellion against religion because I wanted to be a person of principles. I wanted to be a person who was moral. I wanted to be a person who was of service. I wanted to be a person who did good in the world because it was the right thing, not because I was afraid of going to hell. And I took that stance, and my father took that stance, and it was very important for me to back my father up in that stance. And then every once in a while, I would have these moments where I would just be struck by something. Like when I had my first son, I had this baby and I felt this incredible love for this baby, this love that was indescribable. And I just remember reveling in this magic and this miracle of this child being born. And I called my dad and I'm like, Dad, you know, I'm a critical thinker and everything, but my God, it feels like such a miracle. The whole a woman getting pregnant and having a child and the child being born and the love that you share and the vulnerability you experience, just, it feels bigger than me. I don't know. There's something there. And my father would say, yeah, I know. I have such curiosity about it too. Because he was not atheist. He was just looking for evidence, you know, but he allowed me to be my own person. And the people pleaser in me also wanted to make sure that he knew that I was a critical thinker, and his friends too, like the people that I admired and trusted, the people in my community. Like, I didn't want to be identified as a magical thinker because I guess I was afraid of being judged, even though my dad didn't judge me, but I kind of felt like he didn't judge me because I agreed with him most of the time. I don't know if that makes sense. So I had these moments that would just kind of like bring me back. And then my father got very ill, and in his journey, he never turned to religion. But I do feel that he was, as he got sicker and sicker, he got more connected to a spiritual version of himself. He didn't use that language, but I saw it. I saw it in his actions, not in his words. And before he died, I remember sitting by him and saying, like, I wonder if there's something on the other side. And his response to me was, you know, we are so deeply connected. I have deep curiosity to know if it will continue. And I hope that it does. And I was like, well, if it does, Dad, if there's something on the other side, send me some signs because I want to know you're there. And he smiled and he said, I will. And we kind of ended on those terms of like, we're open to the unknown. We're open to the possibility that something might exist. And, you know, he's going before me. So maybe he will, maybe he'll send me some signs. And then he passed. And when he passed, I started seeing signs everywhere. And what I realized was that I was constantly looking for ways to disprove those signs. I was like, there's no science here, so I need evidence, and I don't have firm evidence. So I was always trying to like find a way to show that this was unconnected. This was not linked. This is not spiritual, you know, this is not God. This is just a coincidence. And that was like my way of holding on to my critical thinking hat. And then I was speaking with one of my dear friends, Dave Bricker. We're having one of our philosophical conversations. And he said, he planted a seed in my heart that changed me forever. He said, Garo, instead of always trying to prove or disprove the things that are happening in your life, why don't you just enjoy the mystery? And when he said that, I was like, oh my God, I could just enjoy the mystery. I could enjoy the mystery of the magic that is unfolding in my life. And maybe I can just choose to receive the signs with joy and curiosity instead of fear, you know, that I'm becoming a magical thinker, like something like that, you know? And then a few years ago, I wrote a blog post dedicated to my dad, talking about maybe the difference between being a magical thinker and a critical thinker, and how I would always be a critical thinker, but I decided I was going to be a magical thinker too. So that was the beginning of my journey. But then more things happened because I had influences in my life, influences like my friend Betsy. My friend Betsy, whom I talk about all the time, she lost a child when that baby was 2 years and 9 months old. It was an unfathomable loss. And I remember looking at her and feeling the pain of that loss as if it were my own. I just remember the sheer sadness and thinking I was not strong enough to go through that loss that she went through. And Betsy is a very devout Catholic. And I was at the funeral and she was standing on the lectern with her husband, looking out into the crowd, speaking about the loss of her daughter. And she stood there, and with this strength, she said, I am a woman of faith. And because I am a woman of faith, I know I can get through this. And I watched her, and I remember thinking, I wish I had that faith, because if something like this happened to me, I don't know that I could go through it. I wish I had that faith. And I didn't have that faith at the time, but I had her. And she was my role model. She was my example. She was somebody that I could look up to. And we started training for a marathon together. We ran together. And through our runs, we'd have all these conversations. And I would challenge her as my father taught me to do. And luckily for me, she was open enough to challenge me back. We engaged in conversations. We we had this exchange of thoughts and ideas, and I'd give her my perspective and she'd give me her perspective. And truth be told, I'd like to believe that I've influenced her a lot. I think I have. And she has influenced me so much. And she started to bring me closer to the acceptance of faith. And she used to say to me, you know, you don't have to have faith in Jesus or God. She was like, you can have faith in the electric power. And that's like something that she would always say. Have faith in something. Have faith in yourself. Have faith in anything. But have faith. And when she told me that, things started to resonate in my brain, because up until that point, I had been a student of Stoicism, and I had connected with the idea that I was in the driver's seat of my life and that I was responsible for my actions and that I needed to focus on what I could control and that I needed to live a life of principles. And I took a lot of ownership of my life. I was very into personal development and into Stoic philosophy. And those principles were faith-based principles, but I didn't realize it at the time. But she helped me see that those were faith-based principles. In fact, she used to joke, she would say, I know that you don't consider yourself a Christian, but you're the best Christian I know. And she would say, because you live like a Christian, even if you don't call yourself a Christian, you live like a Christian. So she started to introduce me to the possibility that maybe we weren't so different after all. Then I created another relationship in my life that was very significant with my friend Nikki Novo, who had a completely different approach to spirituality, also raised Catholic, but a completely different approach to spirituality. And she started to connect me to spirituality with her language and with her example. And she started to expand my understanding of things that I had never been exposed to. She started to expand my belief in things that I had never been exposed to. And then from that point on, with these different relationships that I had and with this information, I started to shift my perspective. I started to shift my understanding. I started to shift the way that I looked at the world between Dave and Betsy and Nikki and I had and my coach Susan Ford Collins and all the signs I'd receive from my father, which were too many to count. I started to enjoy the mystery. I couldn't reconcile it 100%. I couldn't say I found the answer. There's always going to be a little agnostic in me because I understand that I don't understand. I understand that I don't have all the answers. I understand that I don't know what I don't know. But I started to reconcile. And what I realized was that I enjoyed looking for the magic more than trying to disprove it. And that started to change everything. Then when I went to Korea, I was introduced to my friend Caroline, who had a beautiful relationship with her father, who's also a motivational speaker and author. He wrote a book called Eyes Up. I will post that on my show notes. And they introduced me to the magic of synchronicity. And that word also created a shift in my life. So as I have evolved, I've started to shift my perspective. And I started to open my eyes. And all of a sudden, I started embracing magic. I started embracing Jesus Christ's teachings. I started embracing Catholicism, Christianity, Judaism, as well as Stoicism. I started looking for the similarities instead of trying to look for the differences. And then what really sealed the deal for me was I attended a Deepak Chopra book tour that he was doing here in Miami. And I went with all of my friends, and he was talking, he's a science guy who's turned spiritual and stuff like that. And he was talking about religion and spirituality, and he was laughing and saying, you know, I laugh when I hear people say, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. I laugh when I hear that. And I'm listening closely, and he says, because it's all the same, because it's all God. It is all God. And then he said something that will forever change me. He said, people think God is impossible to find, but really, he is impossible to avoid. That statement resonated with me so deeply. I think I was ready to receive that, because all these years, I'd been enjoying the mystery, and the more that I open my eyes to it, the more I receive signs, mysterious synchronicities, joy. And I decided in that moment, why not choose to believe that that is all God? That God is, in fact, impossible to avoid. I mean, after all, the mysteries have been impossible to avoid. And truth be told, they make my life better. They have allowed me to find the sparks of bliss in my soul. They have allowed me to feel connected to something higher than myself, to a higher power. And they have brought my principles of personal development, my principles of personal responsibility, my ownership of my choices, everything that I believed in, they've actually brought me closer to those things. Because all this time I had been thinking that God was something that was external from me. And this made me realize that it's not about an external God. It's actually about seeking the God within you. It's about finding oneness with the higher version of yourself, with a higher power. And language is just semantics. Some call it God, some people call it something different, universe, nature. It's language. And when you understand that, and you understand that we're working on the same principles, we're just using different language, then we are free to accept each other and to find unity within each other instead of creating separation amongst each other. Now I'm free. I'm free from trying to prove or disprove the truth. Free from trying to prove or disprove what I feel, what I experience, what I think. And instead, I live in constant curiosity, in constant enjoyment of the journey and of the experience, and with this open-mindedness that anything is possible. And now I realize that I can be a bridge between people of faith, people that are not of faith. I could be a bridge from people who have one religion versus people who have another religion. I can be a bridge because I'm open to all of it. And because I am in search of the universal principles, I am in search of the togetherness and the oneness that sews all of our souls together. And that shift has shifted everything. So today, I now declare myself a woman of faith. I consider myself to be a person who lives a Christ-like life. In many ways, I am a disciple of Jesus and also a student of Stoicism, a student of Christianity, a student of Judaism, and a student of life. And all of it, all of the essence of all of it, forms me into the person that I am today. And that person that exists is here to inspire, to serve, not to judge, to understand, to be open, and to help people find their faith and give people permission to follow whatever path calls them most and use whatever language serves them best and find their own way, so long as it is in love and in light and for the good of humanity. So I hope that this year you will begin to shift into becoming a person of faith. Faith in yourself, faith in a higher power, faith in the principles, and faith that life is rigged in your favor. And I hope you will continue, like me, to look for evidence to support that. Have a beautiful, sacred Sunday, and I'll see you next week. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for this time to connect. If you're loving this podcast, I'd love if you could support me by subscribing, rating, and/or leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews help us so, so much. And if you know of someone who could really use a voice like mine in their head, please share this with them and let them know how much you care about their bliss. Now, if you are feeling called to dig deeper and really work on elevating your mindset, wellness, and your relationships to create a healthier, happier, and more meaningful life, then I invite you to schedule a 60-minute complimentary consultation with me. Let's have a meaningful conversation and see if working together is in our future. You can find the link to the calendar of consults right there in my show notes, but you can also connect with me on my website, carolinedeposada.com, or just send me a DM on Instagram, at carolinedeposada. Like my friend always says, the project is big and you're a part of it. So thanks for being here.